story one, I guess. Just little scenes. Sometimes I throw out here that I want to put there somewhere. And one, what we can show, because the war game, well, it has started, of course, and we simply spread that. Oh, yeah. So thank you for your cooperation. It can, of course, also, but it's an interesting name, actually, title there, because it could also be taken that it's a hostile takeover. You say, thank you for your cooperation. So we can show that world there of heavy business world with sharks eating each other, and how this girl steps out into that and studies it and starts to play around with it a little bit. So that's, you know, we get an interesting double meaning to that word, the title. And so what this one is doing is it's showing the gradual build-up to where it actually starts to get a bit tough and aggressive here and there, because we show them how this game that is being played by the humans in the West, the money game, the drug game, the high-level enjoyment game, the big city, you know, we show these kind of people. We show a culture, a society in a state of decadence, as Fellini did in Satyricon. But today, I mean, basically showing what's going on. You can get inspiration from Satyricon as well. Steal scenes from it. Stick in here and there. Here and there. Easter eggs. Yeah, Mahabharat. So then we can have scenes that come now and then, and I'm just looking, seeing something here in social media, so I got the idea. You know, that these dance clubs, and we basically just show them the way they are today. Those, how to say, they're very strange sometimes. Some people are dressed very strangely, as if, I mean, some kind of, I guess that's what they call kinky. I mean, it seems like fetishist, sexually sometimes oriented, but this, not just as in Pio's young age, a gang of long-haired kids with jeans and t-shirts dancing around to some rock music or disco music. But, you know, these it's music which is just basically just only beats, but beats with sounds that are cool and, how to say, hip at the moment. So they're just different styles, and oh, I like this style, and this kind of sound works for me and my gang here, my tribe. So we got these tribes, they're dancing in these dance halls with all kinds of very exquisitely decorated, and there's of course a lot of money being made in all of this. And yes, lots of sexuality behind, under there, under the surface, and different kinds of very sophisticated drugs. I mean, in the old days, there was alcohol and there was some pot and little amphetamine. Basically, that was it. But now there are all these plethora of synthetic drugs and this kind of thing and that thing. So, and they know how to use them to get exactly the experience, inspiration that they are looking for. And this way you get these people who have grown up in this society which is so rich, you know, the richest in the world, but which is so rich on behalf of other countries. We show that colonialism going on still today, and how they can switch over to the other country, to India or to whatever, and see this, the simple people there who are in China, who are just working to produce all this stuff that these people are then using there in their search for pleasures and more sophisticated such, because that's what life is about. So they are drifting into their own, because that's what we tend to do, drifting into their own realm, their own world that they have created for themselves. Some people, they hardly, in the big cities, they hardly ever leave their city or even the part of the city, their little neighborhood. That's their life, that's their universe. And so we show in this way, maybe just by visuals, where this action is going on in our story, that kind of decadence. It could be interesting, really, too, and educative, without pointing, you know, something in the people's face. And I think that should be the thing with this, is it should use art to show reality in ways that people go, oh yeah, of course, how stupid we are. Gotta change our way of living. And then we see there in the global south, what is in the global south? Well, you got Africa, you got India, you got entire Asia basically, you got South America, where most people they're below. They're of course far below the living standard of the middle class in the global north. But they are working so hard. When Pio's father, when his company went bankrupt, his trouser factory, this is from a real story now, in the late 70s, and his employees had to go home after having worked, some of them maybe 40 years. Of course, everything has an end, 30, 40 years. Peacefully, 9 to 5, ordinary Swedish. Honorable. Company. Then we got China Blue. I mean, we look at that documentary, we can get visuals from there. Young girls, 14 years, coming from the countryside. Everyone, all these simple countryside people, the youngsters, they don't want to just, you know, live their lives on the fields of their parents' farm. But they want to go to the city and make money. And buy nice clothes and become modern young people. Like the Westerners. So they, when this girl comes to the city, we can have her in a character also. And there she works in that factory, and we show how this man who owns the factory is not a greedy capitalist, he's like my father. Pio says, and this author says, because this is what my father had, such a company. And that man says there that I add 100% on the production cost and take that as profit. But the British company who buys it from me and then sells it further, was just a middleman and nothing else. They had 1,000%. Yep. So we show this. And that's a good way, actually, to show what's going on. And how, when father's factory went down under. Of course, it was time anyway, pension time and so on, but so no big problem. But then we see how their children, or maybe a little bit older generation in between there, took over, and how this new, I mean, we show step by step how that decadence happened. And it did start there with P.O.S. when he was a kid, and how this materialism really started flooding the Western world, which was, you could say, the result of the colonialism. We're getting things dirt cheap, produced in China and Africa and wherever, and resources from those countries. And we hardly pay anything for it. We take the land from the people living in those countries, and they can work on that land. We don't educate them more on just how to work in those mines and fields, producing. Slavery, and we show it, they could even talk like that. It's a smarter form of slavery, this. And you don't need to ship those people from their countries over to our country, where they just make problems. Let them stay in their countries and do the work there. It's just, you know, we don't talk about it, but this is just modern version of it. We don't use that word anymore. You know, we can have people sitting there talking like that up there in those chambers, you know. Those City of London looking fancy buildings and so on. So yeah, sure, this is the story here. And yeah, then the next generation after my father's generation, they become the yuppies. Those who are maybe like, oh well, the hippie generation. Some of them. So those who are maybe 5, 10 years older than Pio, 10 I would say. And it's the stock market, papers, instruments, this whole thing there, because and somewhere in the world, in these countries there in Global South, things are being produced. Shipped over to the rich countries where they are being consumed, bought by customers, making profits for the persons who imported them, not so much for the ones who made them and sent them off. Then with those profits that the person, that the importer gets from selling all these things, they employ people in their offices. And we got the office series now. Just a bunch of people, typical office length. I mean, I'm talking about the comedy series. And we can show it a little like that, you know, that they, what are we doing anyway? What is this company about? Well, we're selling something. We're supposed to make customers here. Call you, the salespeople over there, you are you are the ones. So salespeople, wow, that's important. And the manager is above those, wow, even much more important. And they have their golf clubs standing there in their offices. And it's, you know, money is flowing, because what happens then is that in this rich country, all these goods are flowing in that everyone wants, right? So this thing, it cost $100 to buy. And the importer maybe pays $25 something, meaning the importer who imports and sells a lot, that company in that building there in that big city is making a lot of money just by goods flowing through that company, not even flowing through it, just being, you know, by the administrators of our nice company here in the office building, managed how they should be shipped and to where, and the lager and the warehouse and the delivery and the sales and so on and so on, and the maintenance of the offices, trucks down there, and I mean, it's like that comedy series. And they're not producing anything. And that's then how we show it, that business in the global north develops, the direction it develops. Because then these people working in the offices, they go home and then they buy the things themselves in the shops with the money they make from handling all that import. And where does the money come, where does the value come from? It comes from those other countries. The raw materials extracted from those countries. The processing of those raw materials done by people in those countries. Very, very cheap. And then gradually more and more sophisticated technological developments to get those products, you know, high-tech stuff. Yes, those people over in China, they can do that. They are good at that. And those people over there, they're good at making cloth. And so on. And we are good at handling all this and shipping and designing. And then, yeah, you have, of course, inventors, engineers, who create the drawings and circuit board designs and all that on their computers, and then send it over to those there in the global north, south, who build those things for them. Okay, we can do that. This is so good way to do it. And then gradually, I mean, we just show typically what's happening. We saw Japan go through, you know, I think they were the ones who first got that high-tech industry. Producing for the Western, the rich countries who have money to invest and for the development and for the education of experts, just people who have time to sit for days and months and years to invent and develop and draw and plan. And that's why they could do all these cool gizmos and all that, because they had time. Why? Because they had, the country was rich and now well developed. But much of that happened at the cost of those other colonies, and we show now the reality there. But then someone, maybe the little girl there in China or someone, starts to talk. Maybe the, yeah, we can do that. The girls and China Blue are sitting there in their room with their bunk beds, maybe late at night, because sometimes they have to work very late to meet deadlines. That's just the way things are. They had heavy deadlines and all that. So they sit there, and maybe one girl or a China girl is a little clever. She's one of those coming from the countryside. And she came to the city, and could even be there something that her grandfather or so would have owned. An entire block in that big city, if it didn't give away that land to the people during the revolution. We show these little stories. And then she's a little clever. So she's coming with these questions and reflections and, you know, hey, something here is not right. How much this thing? Maybe it could be pants. You can put this in pants, actually. How much do these pants cost to make? Maybe she could ask the boss, who then answers. They cost $1, whatever that is. 5, 10, 1 per piece. And she said, well, that's good. That's good. And then you sell them for how much? And he says, well, $4 a piece. That's good. But how much, and then what happens with them? Or they send them over to the West, to the global North. And they're sold in shops there, just like in our shops here. But we don't find them in our shops here, not these nice pants. I would like to see them. Well, I can do that. It's a good idea. So far, we've just been selling to these British persons. I'll think of that. Well, maybe she gets a job to take those pants from their factory and travel around in China to clothes shops and just sell them there directly from the factory. Very good. And then maybe she can sell them for, you know, 20 yuan, and they can be sold for 50 or something, and the shop makes a good profit, something like that. And but then one day she asks the boss, how much are they sold for? over there in America and in Europe and so on. I heard what the boss says. I heard that they are sold for like, well, it depends on which time it this is. ¥500 or something. What? You don't mean 50? Maybe he writes it on a paper or so. No. I understood that they are 1,000%. So he can describe all that. And then she says, but why don't we just, I mean, this man in England, what does he do? Well, he has a big building there and with offices, and there are people sitting there. And I think that what they do is managing the shipping and the delivery, and I don't know really. Selling. And to do that, they make so much money. Yes, you know, that's the Western world. It's like this. I mean, he's a kind of innocent, simple person, which most people are in the global South. Even business owners, and yes, they want to be big, but you know, they are still much working in the framework of my father, Pio's father. So then it continues like that. The girl just comes with obvious reactions and suggestions that why don't we just sell directly? And she sits there at night with pen and paper and a little notebook, and if we do like this and we do like that, no one listens to her. Who are you? We need to go up to bed now. It's tomorrow, lots to do. And, but actually her calculations then gradually is a little notebook or whatever she's talking also. Someone picks it up, maybe that boss picks it up and it talks with others in the tea house or whatever. Their factories. And he said, you know, the girl has some point there. If we make our own distribution, then we don't need those people. And they are dependent on us now. Factories here, not there, in their place. Expertise, we have it here. We know how to produce it. Not many others in the world do. And in this way, they just sit there and talk. And in this way, we show what is actually going on and how this leads to this colonization. What is it said? Colonialization. The neo ongoing colonialization, and we show it very clearly in this way, but also how it starts to crumble, because then other countries, the leaders of the countries are talking with each other about it. And this way we just basically show how BRICS come about, or the corresponding entity in our book, in our series. That's pretty good.